Good morning. Show my age a little bit. Many of you, this might go right over your head, but many of you will know exactly. I saw Rich Little one time, and he was a big impersonator, and seems like he could impersonate just about anybody, and always, you know, I was always impressed with how good he was at catching different celebrities and so forth, their voices and so forth. And I tried my hand at impersonating some people once, and a friend of mine said that was phenomenal. That was absolutely a tremendous Jimmy Stewart. And the only problem was I was doing John Wayne, and so I wasn't as good as Rich Little. But in the scripture reading that was read today from Philippians 4:9, you know, Paul gave the admonition to the Christians there in Philippi that the things you've heard and seen in me, these do. And we're going to look today at 1 Corinthians 11:1, where Paul told the Christians in Corinth, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. It's interesting, he says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. He doesn't do the, you know, do as I say, but not as I do. We sometimes hear that. Sometimes hear that from maybe parents or a boss. You know, I want you to do this, even though I'm not doing it. I want you to work hard, even though maybe I'm not. Or, you know, like I said, from parents, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, doesn't want you to imitate his characteristics like Rich Little. Rich Little could hone in and not only imitate, but sometimes caricature, you know, do a caricature of a celebrity. You know, a way they walk or something. Paul's not saying that. You don't need to talk like me or walk like me or anything, but imitate me as a Christian, as I imitate Christ. And I'd like for us to look at some of those ways that we can imitate Paul as he imitated Christ. One was his steadfastness in doctrine. Paul, amongst many other things, was very steadfast in doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. He wants us, it was very important to Paul for us as Christians and for the people he preached to, you adhere to the doctrine. You adhere to the doctrine that has been preached. Don't stray from that. In Galatians 1, and this is only a few years after the church had been established there in Galatia, he is saying, I marvel. Basically, I'm shocked that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And he goes on to say, which is really not another. It's not another. It's not different gospel. There's only one. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one gospel. But you're turning away to something else so soon. And he goes on to say that if we or even an angel preach to you something different than you've heard, let him be accursed. He wanted Christians. He wanted himself, he wanted the people that he preached to adhere to sound doctrine, to be steadfast, to hold fast to that. In 2 Timothy, he writes to Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me. You hold fast to those. That is a military term. Stand fast, hold fast. You stand your ground. Paul doesn't want us to imitate him, his characteristics, the way he walked, the way he talked. He wanted us to imitate him as he did Christ and stay fast, hold fast to doctrine. He goes on to say one of the last recorded letter that we have from Paul is 2 Timothy. I'm writing to Timothy and he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That must have been sad for him. Must have been sad for him to know that that was on the horizon. He had already seen it in his life. He had already seen the people in Galatia turning from the gospel that had been preached. And he goes on to say, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul was very, very interested in the Christians adhering to sound doctrine. Another way we can imitate Paul, and this is something I don't know about you, but sometimes the older I get a little bit more jaded in life. Things have maybe more disappointments in life. Some things that maybe didn't go exactly the way you had hoped or had planned. Paul always stayed positive. And I look at the things that Paul went through, and I'm amazed at the positive attitude he could maintain. And this is definitely encouraging to me to maintain a positive attitude like Paul. In Philippians he wrote, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. He's writing this from being in captivity. He is in Rome under arrest, and he's writing this that all the things that have happened, it's actually turned out for the best. Knowing me, I'd be mulling in my fate. I'd be, oh, woe is me. You know, why did I do this? Why is this happening to me? Paul's sitting there and he's writing to the Christians in Philippi, I want you to know. Basically, don't be sad. All this stuff that I'm going through has turned out for the best. The whole palace guard has been preached to. They have heard the gospel. And he goes on to say, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The influence, the boldness that they have been able to gain because they see Paul in the situation he's in, they can be positive. If Paul can do this, so can we. And that's what he wanted. He wanted us to imitate this positive attitude. He wanted the Christians that he was writing to, the people that he had established congregations throughout the region, be positive. Stick to the sound doctrine, remain positive. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 17, rejoice always. Not rejoice when things are going your way. Not rejoice when things are going smooth sailing for you. Rejoice always pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He goes on in Philippians 4:4, and I love singing this song at camp, at summer youth camp, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And that's that positive attitude that Paul had. It's not always easy. I'm sure it probably wasn't always easy for Paul, but he did it. Another was his immense desire to spread the gospel. He had to. He had to do this. He had that desire to spread the gospel. In Acts 16, starting in verse 8, it says, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. I find it so interesting the difference in reaction of different people when they were called by God to do something. You look at Moses. When Moses was called to lead the Israelites, he had every excuse under the sun why he wasn't the guy. You look at Jonah. He was called to preach. He goes the absolute different direction from what God wanted him to do. But Paul, we call this the Macedonian call. When Paul was called to preach in Macedonia, northern Greece, immediately he set out to do that. In Romans 15, verses 15 and 16, it says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That I might be a minister ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He needed to be that minister to people. It was an obligation he felt to spread that gospel. In Romans 15, a couple of verses later, he goes on to say, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached. Not just the things that they wanted to hear. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel. Not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. I'll tell you, if there was anybody that was suited to be able to bring the gospel to the Jews, it was Paul. He was so well versed in the Old Testament, in the Holy Scriptures, and the prophecies and so forth. But God called him to go to the Gentiles, and he went. And he made it his aim. That was his goal. A couple of verses later in verse 22, it says, for this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. This is the tail end of the book of Romans. He was writing to the Christians in Rome. He so wanted to go and visit them. I'm going to try to get by there, folks. I'm going to go to Spain. My goal, I got to go to Spain to preach to them. And I'm going to swing by Rome on my way. But hold on, because before I do that, I've got to go to Jerusalem and preach the word there. His life was one of spreading the gospel, the greatest missionary we see in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." I get that. I wish I could do it as good as Paul did, but I understand this. I understand what he's saying here. I consider it an absolute honor to be able to preach the gospel to you, but for God. And I get this verse that Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 9:16. We need to follow and imitate him in his example in prayer. What an unbelievable prayer life Paul had. Turn over to Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you, all with joy." And then in Romans 1, 9, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. That he thought of other people in his prayers. Isn't it easy? Dear God, do this for me. Dear God, do that for me. God, gimme, gimme, gimme. It is so easy as a person to kind of have yourself as the focus. Paul did that. We're going to see in a second. He asked God about himself, but he focused a lot on others, their spiritual needs, their spiritual maturity. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. We see Paul going to God on behalf of himself. "I've got a thorn in my flesh." We don't know exactly what that was. We don't know what that physical infirmity was. Appears possibly poor vision. We don't know. And I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to say it was one thing or another. It appears possibly poor vision. But with all the beatings, with all the things that happened to him, who knows? "I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" I look at that scripture, and I see a couple of things. One, I can go to God on behalf of concerns that I have about myself. I see the other scriptures about how often he prayed for others. But I can go to God on behalf of concerns about me. But you know what? Like Paul, realize the will of God. He went to the Lord 3 times about his thorn in the flesh, and the answer was, "My grace is sufficient." Paul, you're good as you are. You're fine. You've got my grace. Another aspect that we can imitate Paul is his training and mentoring of others. We always hear about Timothy and Titus. In fact, if you're able to come Wednesday nights at 6:30, we're studying the book of 2 Timothy right now. I really enjoy that book. In 2 Timothy He writes to Timothy, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." It just wasn't a one-time show. Paul was training others that when he's gone, just like Jesus did, Jesus was not going to stay on this earth forever. He trained those 12 apostles to carry on when he left. Paul, could you imagine being Timothy or Titus or many of the people that accompanied him on his journeys, being taken under the wing of Paul, to be trained, to see Paul in and out of every situation, how he handled things, how he taught people, the strength of character he had. But here he's telling Timothy, you teach others so they can teach others. And they can teach others. And after many, many others, we've been taught. People have been doing this from the first century. And people have taught us. And hopefully we will teach others. His relationship with others. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, we see, it says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." We see that there's a whole mouthful in that one verse. That the relationship he had with Timothy, as he's calling him my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. There was no blood relation, but the relationship that they had between each other was like a father and a son, if not closer. And the fact that he had trained Timothy, like we said before, the training and mentoring, he had trained him to where I can send Timothy on my behalf, and I know he will get the job done. I can't be everywhere. He goes on to say in 2 Timothy 2:1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We talk about, you know, there's adoption agencies where you can adopt children. And what a great thing it is for both recipient, for the adopted parent and the child. A child can have a loving parent that's chosen them. And vice versa. A parent has somebody that they can love and train and teach and give their love to. We can do that in the church. Us older ones that have been around the block a few times. How nice it would be to kind of have an adopted somebody to take under our wing. To give a little special teaching to. And to have somebody else as a younger, less mature Christian to be accountable to. Just like Paul and Timothy. What a great relationship they had. He also teaches us how to have relationships with people when things aren't good. In Romans 16, verse 17 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Things are not always going to be a good relationship between people. When people stray, you note those people and you avoid them. And in Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Paul doesn't say when a brethren is caught up in sin to go lop their head off. He doesn't, take up stones and stone them. You who are spiritual, you restore such as a one like that. You restore them as a brother, with love, with gentleness, with patience. And what a great teaching we have from Paul on relationships with others. And the last one I'd like to look at in closing down is his endurance of hardship. I am almost embarrassed. Sometimes the things I complain about when I look at Paul or when I look at Jesus, I'm embarrassed that I complain of hardships when I look at what Paul went through and stayed positive. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to end with this, verses 22 through 28. Paul says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. And first of all, he's not bragging here. He's letting people know, if you want to compare works, if you want to compare works of the flesh, you don't have a leg to stand on. I don't even do that. But if you want to play that game, can you even match up to me? I speak as a fool. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. A night and a day, I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. In spite of all the physical things he was going through, there was that cloud hanging over his mind and his heart. How are they doing? How is this congregation doing? How is that congregation doing? And when, after he was beaten, or when he's sitting in prison, he would write letters in prison to people to check on them. Paul's an amazing man. And he said there in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. As we go into this new week, I'm done trying to imitate John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart and stuff like that. But hopefully we can all try to imitate Paul as he imitated Christ. If you're not a Christian, it's a wonderful time to decide to be one. If you've got sin in your life, there's no better time than right now to repent, to ask for forgiveness. We will go to God in prayer on your behalf. You put the effort into repenting and turning away from that sin. If you need prayers of the congregation, we have a lot of brothers and sisters here that, like Paul, will make you their daily prayer on behalf of you. Whatever your need is, if you need to respond to the invitation, Please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song.